chapter 2. Feels good to be in church. Amen. On this first Sunday of 2026. If we'd all be honest, some of us never thought we'd make it to 2026. And I'm talking about from 1985. Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house, and I want to bring a message this morning. I hope you pay close attention. If you're not saved, pay real close attention to what I'm going to preach this morning. If you are saved, you still pay close attention. We need this. If we're not careful, we can come to God's house with ulterior motives. Amen. If we're not careful, we want to treat God like Santa Claus. Just gimme, gimme, gimme. And I just want you to know God don't work that way. Amen. Mark chapter 2, if you're there, say amen. Look at verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And now notice this. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Y'all got that right? But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit, they so reasoned within themselves, and he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine own house. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the reading of your word, for the songs, for those already on the altar. And God, we ask your hand to be upon this service. You move in this like only you can. God, you speak to hearts that only you can. And God, you get me away. And Lord, you let all the praise and all the glory fall on Jesus this morning, because Lord, that's the only one that can make a difference today. God, I can't make a difference. The deacons can't make a difference, God, but Jesus can. Have your way. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Amen. Everybody at this point was coming to Jesus for something. Some were coming for a healing. Some were coming for miracles. Some were coming answers. Some were coming for help, but the Bible says that they were gathered together and Jesus was preaching the word. If you want help this morning, it's going to come from preaching the word. If you want miracles this morning, it's going to come from preaching the word. If you want answers this morning, it's going to come from preaching the word. Amen. Jesus was preaching the word. The house was full. Everybody, and the house is almost full this morning. Everybody needs something. Every last one of us in here needs something today. Amen. And the Bible, and I'm not going to preach this, but the Bible says that the house was so full that they couldn't even get in the door. And I thought about it, you know, everybody in that house was not there for the right reason. No. We find out they're scribes and Pharisees. They're there. They're there just to ridicule. They're there just to kind of try to trap Jesus. So everybody that wasn't there for the right reason, maybe you're here this morning and you're not here for the right reason. But guess what? You're here. And the Holy Spirit can deal with you whether you came for the right reason or not. Amen. But don't you notice something? I'm going to preach a little while this morning on this thought. It must start with salvation. It must start with salvation. Salvation is first. Everything else follows. Amen. Understand that. Before Jesus healed this man's body, he healed his soul. I go back and I wanted to make sure I was right on this, and I went back and read all the accounts. And the Bible says in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said of the sick of the palsy, this man is sick, he can't walk. Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now you got to understand some things this morning. Number one, salvation is going to come before every solution does. Say, they people come to church sometime, Brother Skip, and they come and their marriage is falling apart. And all they want to happen is their marriage to get back together. Some folks come to church and their kids are going astray. And they're out doing things they ain't got no business doing. And all they want is their kids to come back. And some folks come to church and they need a healing. They've got a bad report. And to death. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. Jesus will not address the other situations in your life until he addresses salvation first. So all these solutions will not work. They brought this man for a healing, but Jesus addresses his sin right off the bat. The man don't say a word, Brother Charlie, and Jesus addresses his sin. Jesus can't tell what. Jesus knows everything about this man already, and nobody else in that room knew what was going on with this man, but Jesus addresses his sin. And then the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care where you're sitting at this morning. I don't care how good you think you are. You need Jesus more than anything else. You need Jesus more than healing. You need Jesus more than your marriage fixed. You need Jesus more than your children healed. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. God is more concerned with who you are than with what hurts you. You can come for the wrong reason and still get the right touch. Jesus addressed his sin. See, the problem is most people want to come and get their problem fixed before God fixes them. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. How many of us actually came to church when we got saved for the right reason? I didn't. Y'all know my story. I come to church just to be with her. The only reason I came to church. I didn't care what the preacher was going to preach. I wanted to be with her. I didn't care what they was going to sing. I wanted to be with her. That's the only reason I went to church. I was living like I wanted to. I was doing things I had no business doing, but I wanted to be with her. And guess what? Jesus wanted to be with me. Amen. And he got a hold of me. Amen. He had to fix me before he could ever fix any other situation. I won't never forget. There was a lady asked me one time, and I'm not going to call any names because some of y'all might would remember. She said, preacher, why don't God heal me? Yeah, come on. I said, you want God to heal you so you can keep doing your habit. And God don't work that way. God is going to deal with the situation. God is not going to fix your situation until you fix your standing with him. God is not into rearranging a life before you've been redeemed. It'd be like painting a car with no motor in it. It's going to look good, but it ain't going nowhere. Amen. Number two, salvation comes before strength. The Bible says in verse 89, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they also reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, I want you to get a picture. Forgiveness came while he was still paralyzed. He ain't walked yet. Somebody ought to shout right there. He ain't walked yet, but he's forgiven. Jesus could have stopped right there, Brother Tony, and this man would have been better off than he was when he got there. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'd rather run into heaven than limp into hell, amen? The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 9, verse 43 through 48. Now listen, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it's better to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. And it goes on to say, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. You got to understand something? I'd rather be saved, glory to God, and go to heaven than have all the riches in this world and go to hell. This man had to get strength. He was able to walk after salvation. Do y'all get what I'm saying? See, the thing about it is you got to get things right. It's got, Brother Benny, it's got to be lined up. Clint, it's got to be lined up the way he says do it. See, we want to get the cart before the horse. Well, Lord, if you'll just heal my body, I'll live for you. Don't work that way. Lord, how many times have people come on this altar? Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. You got to understand, you are dealing with God. You're not dealing with your child. You are dealing with the maker of the universe. You don't make a compromise with him. He tells you how to do it, and you line up with what he says, or it don't happen. This man got strength only after salvation. See, the thing about it is you don't get strong to get saved. You get saved to get strong. Yeah, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I'm telling you right now, that's the way God works it out. That's the way God is doing this. And understand something. This man, he was able to take what Jesus gave him. And understand, he was paralyzed when he got saved. But you got to understand, after he got saved, he wasn't paralyzed no more. Strength came after salvation. You want to know? You said, preacher, I just don't know why God ain't answering my prayers. Maybe you ought to check up. Let's just be honest. There's a lot of folks in church today that ain't never been saved. They go through the motions. They go down. They have a religious experience. So that people gather around them, pat them on the back, say, pray, 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 give it up. Just talk to the master. And they go through all that and never get saved. Amen. If you can't take me back to a place where you got on your knees and you asked God to forgive you of your sin, more than likely you're not saved today. You don't get saved by coming to church. You don't get saved by singing in the choir. You don't get saved by coming to Sunday school. You get saved by falling on your knees and confessing your sins to an almighty God and believing in his son Jesus Christ and the shed blood that he gave you. That's how you get saved. Amen. Jesus addressed this man's salvation and then gave him strength. Salvation becomes before walking in the newness of life. Again, I'm not going to call any names. I had a man ask me one time, why am I struggling? And it seems like, and he called a man's name, it seems like so-and-so's just blessed. Well, maybe you're struggling because you never got saved. And the thing about it is, Brother Robert, he didn't even know what so-and-so was going through. See, all he was doing was looking on the outside. Everybody's got problems. See, don't look on the other side of the church and say, well, I tell you right now, I wish my life was like Kevin's. Kevin's just got everything going on and all. No, you don't know what Kevin's going through. But you got to understand something. Salvation has got to come before you start walking in the newness of life. Verse 11 says this, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy and go into thine own house. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says this, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk also in the newness of life. Romans chapter 7, verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. No change, no salvation. The commandment only came after forgiveness was there. When we get saved, that's when you start changing. When you get, let me go ahead and tell you something. You don't change to get saved. Amen. You can flip over all the leaves you want to until you dig up the tree and flip the whole tree over. That ain't going to get you into heaven. Until there is a change in your life, you are not saved. And you got to understand something. When there's a change, there's a new walk. When there's a change, there's a new attitude. When there's a change, this man, hey, somebody carried him to church. But glory to God, when he got saved, he walked on his own. He left, and he was doing right. Yeah. See, a lot of people come to church. They come down to an altar. They go through the motions. They go back out and live the any old way they want to. You didn't get saved. You didn't get saved. If there's no change, there's no salvation. This man left walking in the newness of life. You got to understand something, folks. If you go to the right church, this ain't no self-help thing. This is a total transformation. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let me tell you something. Self-help ain't for Christians. I don't want to be like I was. I sing that song, "The Old Man is Dead." Amen. The old man is, I might look the same, but I ain't the same. I might look the same, but I don't talk the same. I might look the same, but I don't act the same. I might look the same, but I don't treat people the same. Amen. There's been a change. This man walked in the newness of life. Now notice this. Only God gets the glory after salvation. The Bible says in Mark chapter 12, 2, verse 12, and immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went from before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never saw it on this fashion. They saw a change and glorified God. They saw a change and they started worshiping. They saw God's only going to get glory in your life after salvation. I'll never forget, I ran a revival years ago for Preacher Larry McAllister in Lake City. And there were two men, Brother Tony, in that church. Both of them were over 75 years old. And they loved that preacher to death. I mean, they loved that preacher. But both of them were lost. And I preached a message, and I don't remember exactly how the message went. But I pretty much said something to this effect. You can say you love the preacher. You can say you love the Lord. But until you get saved and until you start living right, you don't. Amen, preacher. Both those men got saved in that revival. That's unheard of, to find somebody that's 75 years old or older to get saved. Let me ask you a question. Can we say that about your life? Can we say that about your life? I mean, I could point people out here this morning that I've seen a change in their life since they got saved. I can point people out in here this morning that I've seen a change in how they talk and how they walk and how they treat people since they got saved. But can we say that about your life?
Come on, preacher.
Salvation got to come first. There's somebody here this morning that wants to change. There's somebody here this morning that wants to be saved. There's somebody here this morning that needs Jesus. Maybe you came for the wrong reason. Maybe you've just been going through the motions. But on this first Sunday in 2026, why don't you show Jesus you really love him? Salvation's got to come. Let me tell you something, folks. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it over the years. Somebody comes down to an altar, they get saved. Their marriage and their relationship is crumbling. Then all of a sudden their spouse gets saved. Then all of a sudden the whole family's in church. I got a preacher friend of mine right now. Him and his wife was 2 weeks from divorce. And he got saved. Then she got saved. Hallelujah. Then the whole family got saved.
Amen.
They tore the divorce papers up, and he's pastoring a church right now. But salvation's got to come first.
Amen.
You understand that? Salvation's got to come first. Bow your heads with me.